Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
From 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, 1 verse, 16th verse. Says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all.
Well, let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this verse. It's a benediction. It's the ending. Father, it's not even the main thrust, but in a sense it is, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But Father, we thank you this morning that you are the God of peace. And Father, that you promised us that you're going to give us that peace. So, Father, come. You know exactly where each heart and mind needs to be touched this morning, God. We need your loving grace, your mercy, and we need your peace. So come and be with your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a matter of introduction this morning, I want you just to ponder the song that's going to be on your screen. Just ponder this and prepare your hearts for the message this morning. By God in such a way that worry and anxiety are serious temptations to sin, aren't they? Every one of us, we need to be reminded that we need to be still and know that God is God. You see, again, we've been made in such a way that it's a temptation, easily tempted to worry and be anxious, to fear. Because I'm so blind and you're so blind in your intellect and I'm so blind in my intellect, my knowledge, I'm so limited in my strength. I'm so limited in my stature. I mean, I wish I could do things and I can't do them. I'm so easily confused. I'm so easily distracted and mistaken. We've all been there. That's the lot of humanity. We can't see even 1 millisecond into the future. I mean, we wish we could, but you know what? Even if we could, we're not powerful enough to really do anything that's of a lasting effect of ourselves. We couldn't affect real change. And even if we were powerful enough, we'd probably mess it up. You know what I'm saying? We're uncomfortably and disconcertingly vulnerable. We don't like to think of ourselves as vulnerable, but we are. You are vulnerable. I am vulnerable, and it makes me very uncomfortable. I mean, again, anxious questions, worrisome questions, without difficulty break through the levees of my heart, flooding my heart, flooding my mind. And what is this pain in my body? I mean, is it something serious? What's going to happen to my wife, or maybe from your perspective, what's going to happen to my husband? What's going to happen to my child? What's going to happen to my parents? When will I feel okay again? When's that? Is that ever going to happen, God? Will there be enough money to pay the bills this month? How can I ever tell that person what really happened or how I really feel? You see, I mean, anxiety and pressure and all the things that we face come with life. We've often laid awake at night, haven't we? Just wondering and pondering about these sorts of questions. Or maybe during the middle of the day, we've drifted off, sort of went into la-la land a little bit, and just because we're so preoccupied. Sometimes it preoccupies us to the point where we can't really hold a conversation. We can't focus. Maybe we can't even eat. In a real sense, these sort of questions, they paralyze us, don't they? They paralyze us. We want to be in control. We want to be almighty, but God and reality constantly. God lovingly and reality not so lovingly, it seems, slaps us in the face and reminds us that we are neither almighty nor in control. And to be honest, it would all be too much except for this one basic monumental truth. And it's this truth right here. It would all be too much. We would just throw in the towel except for this truth. God is. God is. You say, Brother Ben, that of course he is. No, wait a minute. God is. God is. God who's perfectly loving and wise and almighty. He knows everything. He's everywhere. He's everything that's good and righteous. He is, and he is God. Christian, do you hear me this morning? He who made the universe by the power of his spoken word, and who sustains the world even to this second, by the same way, by his spoken word. Right? He caused light to burst forth. We saw last Sunday night, he causes the grass to grow. God is, and he is God. That's why 2 Thessalonians 3:16 is so important for us. Look at it with me again, if you would. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now you see, this is nothing more than a benediction, right? This is just the ending. It's like signing your letter, in love, Ben. I mean, it's sort of like that. It's a benediction, but it's more than that. In a sense, I would argue that it's actually the main thrust of the entire letter. I mean, everything, if you look at 2 Thessalonians, Paul is constantly seeming to want to accomplish the very thing that he's benedicting with, that he's ending with. So 2 Thessalonians, the main thrust is to promote peace, and so it's going to be the main thrust of my message this morning. Here's the big idea that I pray you would take away this morning. And here's the hope and goal. May peace reign in your heart and mind today because of God.
not because of circumstances, not because of the statistics or the things that you see that you're prognosticating and predicting, not because of how you feel, but because of God. Four truths from this verse that's going to help us along. Let's look at them here. First is that our triune God is the Lord of peace. Our triune God is the Lord of peace. Notice what Paul calls God here in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He says, now the Lord of peace. Now, peace is one of those words sometimes a little bit hard to define. I mean, you might define it this way, the state of tranquility, calmness, quietness, right? Certainty. Maybe the absence of conflict is maybe how you would define peace. But peace is God's very nature. It's who God is. To be God is to be peace. Think about this for a moment. Within God, there's no conflict. There's no anxiety. There's no fear. There's no doubt in Him. There's no worry. There is zero controversy in God. None whatsoever. God experiences true peace. True peace, the peace that you and I will someday experience. And this characteristic of peace, I mean, it's found in all three persons of the Trinity. All three persons of the Godhead. Here in this verse, he says Lord. And Lord very well might be in this verse. Paul might have in mind the second person of the Trinity. Right? God the Son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus says this. He says this in John 10:30. He says, I and my Father are what? One. Right, we're the same, he says. Not the same person, but the same in essence, the same in character, the same in being. And so Jesus is the Lord of peace, and the Father is the Lord of peace. You see what we're saying here? In fact, the phrase God of peace is used to describe God over and over throughout the Bible. And I could list out several here, but let me just read to you three here. Judges 6:24. Notice what it says. Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. That's Hebrew for God is peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezites or Abiezrites. How about Romans 16:20? Listen to what it says, Romans 16:20, and the God of peace, I love this, will bruise Satan under his feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The God of peace, going to do some behind kicking to Satan. That's why, remember, I mean, we'll get into this, but peace is not the absence of conflict. I mean, it's not. Even here, he's waging war, he's stomping Satan, but he's the God of peace. How about 2 Corinthians 13:11? Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And then notice what he says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here in 2 Corinthians 3:16, Paul sees Jesus as equally divine, equally God with the Father. And so all three persons of the Trinity work to spread this glory, right? The glory of His peace, all three persons. One author said it this way. He said, the Father decreed peace, the Son purchased peace, and the Holy Spirit brings peace. I like that. Right? The Godhead, each aspect, each person of the Godhead is working to bring about peace. And I want you to know, friend, that there's coming a day, according to Habakkuk 2:14, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the water covers the sea. And in that day, you and I, His creatures, will fully know peace, and we will fully know the God of peace. So the first truth that's going to help peace reign in your heart and my heart today is the fact that our triune God is the Lord of peace. But the second truth is this. He gives us his peace. Right? He's the Lord of peace, but he gives us. God gives us his peace. He's the God of peace. But notice again what he says here. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. You know, it's one thing to say that God is the Lord of peace. That's all well and good. Good for him. But the question is he going to be stingy with it or not, all right? And so let me say this, God is not stingy. He lavishes his peace upon us. He freely gives it to us. Flip with me over to John 14. I want us to look at this. John 14. John 14, I believe, I mean, it's got some other offshoots and things like that, but I think at the center of it, sort of bubbling underneath the whole time here in John 14, is the theme of peace. It's about peace. John 14, look at verse 27. Jesus comforting his disciples and all who would believe on him thereafter. Notice what he says, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, Jesus gives us peace. And this promise, it comes on the heels of John 14, 1 through 6. So just go up a few verses there with me. John 14, 1 through 6, where Jesus defines for us what that peace is. He doesn't just say, I'm going to give you peace, and lets us make up whatever that might be. He defines it for us here. Verses 1 through 6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, if just basically what goes on here is Jesus says, y'all are safe. You're safe. You have peace. I'm going to reserve a place for you. I'm not just going to reserve it for you. I'm actually going to come and get you and bring you to be with me. And Thomas asks, how we get there, Jesus? I don't know. What's going on? How do we get there? And Jesus says, you get there through me, by me. And so this peace that Jesus is leaving for us is connected to him. Right? I mean, to know Jesus is to know peace. It's founded on Jesus Christ himself. And so to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord is to know peace. You say, well, I feel peaceful and I don't have Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I want to declare to you that it's a fake peace. It's a false peace. Satan is lulling you to sleep, making you think that all is well, when actually you are destined straight to a place where there is no peace, called hell. You're living in a fake peace. To know Jesus is to know peace, because it's only through Jesus that you lay down your arms against God. You stop warring against God. You stop rebelling. And though Jesus, and through Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And just think about this, not only are your sins forgiven, but God's wrath is quenched towards you. And here's the truth of the matter. It's through Jesus that although all hell is breaking loose around you, and we've been there before, when everything we know and love falls apart, even in those moments, through Jesus, you can have tranquility. You can have a calmness of spirit. You can have a quietude of soul in your heart, in your mind. Why is that? Because no matter what, you know you're safe in Jesus. You're safe. You're secure. Jesus, this is about your safety in him. John 10, 27 through 29. Listen to what it says. John 10, 27 through 29. As he talks about our safety in him. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Everybody say, never perish. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And so, dear ones, hear me this morning. Right? If you are in Christ, you're secure in Christ, and that should bring you peace, a great measure of peace. Although you and I may die at any moment, we don't know when our last breath will be. We can have peace because the Father will keep us and receive us into His eternal life in heaven. But that peace that God gives us, it doesn't just include our salvation, right? I mean, salvation, I praise God for salvation. I praise God that when I die, I'm going to a better place, and that a place that'll be peaceful and blissful and with God. But what about life right now? I mean, I need something right now, God. And so it's more than just our salvation. Salvation leads to peace, but how many of y'all know some truly saved people who struggle with anxiety, who struggle with doubt, struggle with fear? I know I do. I know some people like that. I know me. I struggle with those things. You see, we so easily, think about this. We so easily trust God with our souls, but we struggle with trusting God with our lives. And He wants us to trust Him with our lives, the day in, the day out stuff, day in and out stuff, okay? That's what He wants. It's almost like sometimes we just think, God, just save me and I'll do the rest. I'll get there. Just save me and I'll handle it until the day I die. But God desires to be the Lord of your life, to be intimate in every aspect. He wants to shepherd you. I think that's why over the years, the 23rd Psalm has been such a blessing to people, because they hear that psalm and it brings peace. It reminds us who God is and what He's doing. I want to read it this morning, the 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6, and listen to the peace that's offered in it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I know that psalm, that's typically a psalm that we read at funerals, right? I mean, I want you to know that's fine. I mean, I just used it with Tammy's funeral at the graveside service. I mean, it's a beautiful psalm to read at funerals, but it's not just a funeral song. This is an everyday life psalm. This is God of my life, every second of my life sort of psalm. It absolutely is. God, particularly the Son, Jesus, is our good shepherd, and He will beautifully, bountifully, masterfully, moment by moment, guide, protect, direct, love us. So trust God with your life. And you can trust Him because He's the sovereign God of the universe. That means He rules and reigns. He's also the loving and wise God of the universe. History's in His hands. It's progressing just as He has planned. And I know that's hard for us to imagine, but the Bible says that that's the truth, right? Everything that happens, every moment that happens, God has willed to happen. Either He's actively brought it to pass, or He's passively allowed it to happen, right? And if He allows it to happen, He has a purpose in that. He's in control. Charles said that so beautifully a while ago. God is in control. And all of history, it says in the scripture, is being worked for our good. Romans 8:28 says that, doesn't it? That God works all things to the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. God is faithful. God is faithful, isn't He? The Bible promises us that God is not going to put so much on you that it will crush you, right? He's not going to do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 points us to that, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And so just think about this with me. That's talking about temptations. And so, does that really have to do with what we're talking about? I think it does. Because difficulties in life, anxieties, fears, doubts, those are some of the greatest temptations that you and I face. Worry is one of the biggest temptations that we so easily fall into, and God will not put on you more than you can bear with His help. Do you see what I'm saying here? It will crush you by yourself, but with God, you can bear it. In your own power, it will break you. But with God's help, you'll stand strong all day long. Your life is in God's hands. And they're good hands. They're wonderful hands. They're loving hands. They're wise hands. So again, trust God with your life. Then you'll begin to have this peace that God desires to give you. So our triune God is the Lord of peace. And He gives us His peace. That's the first two truths. The third truth here as we look at this is that God's peace is available at every moment and in every fashion. Every moment. God's peace is available at every moment and in every fashion. Look at verse 16. If you want to flip back there with me. Verse 16, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. I said earlier that maybe a definition of peace is the state of tranquility, the state of calmness or quietude, the state of certainty, maybe the absence of conflict. But it's certainly more than that, isn't it? It's certainly more than that, because I say that because you can have peace in the midst of distress. You can have peace in the midst of conflict even. Philippians 4:7 says this, and the God of peace, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, God's peace, right? God brings this peace to us, and it brings peace even when the natural man is flipping out and going crazy. Y'all been there before when somebody is losing their mind over something? And you're like, what's going on? What's the big deal? God's here, right? He's going to help us. Maybe you're the type of person that flips out easily in the midst of something not going your way. But by God's grace, you don't have to. By God's grace, you can stand strong. And they'll look at you, people look at you and they'll say, how can you do that? They won't understand it. But you know it's by God. And the comfort that God's peace has for you is available at every moment. That was great news to the Thessalonians. If you just go back a little bit through 2 Thessalonians, you see first, they were being persecuted terribly. So much so that Paul was afraid that they were just going to turn from the faith. It was to that level. I'm not sure all the things that were going on, but they were being persecuted greatly. And so they needed a word from Paul about peace. But not only that, then you go to chapter 2 and it gets worse, because Paul says, well, I know things are bad now. I understand you, but it's going to get worse. Right? The man of lawlessness, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the big A Antichrist is soon to come. It's going to get worse. And then you go to chapter 3 and they're having to deal with some church discipline issues. They've got people there who will not work in the church, yet they keep wanting a handout from the church. They won't. Paul says if they won't work, they don't eat. And he says, handle them, rebuke them, admonish them, face them. And you know as well as I do, confrontation is it ruins peace, right? It's hard. But Paul says, even in those things, you can have peace. Their plates were loaded, man. Troublesome times, troublesome times. But Paul reminds them that God's peace is available at every moment. And I dare say that that's not just good for the good news for the Thessalonians, it's good for you. Right? Your plate's full, right? Things, trouble's piling up. And it is. How many of you would say right now that your plates are overloaded with troublesome things? You got plenty of things on your plate. I know that we all could probably say that to a degree. But God's peace is available in every situation, at every moment you're facing. But it's not just available at every moment. It's available also in every fashion. Paul says here, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Greek word that's translated as means here means manner, way, or fashion. So God's peace comes in every way, every fashion. How you need it, God delivers it. You need peace of mind? God will give it to you. You need peace at heart? God will give it to you. You need peace physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually? God's peace will provide it. And so whatever aspect or fashion of peace you need, God's peace will bring it in every moment. So our triune God is the Lord of peace and gives us his peace at every moment, in all situations, in all fashions. And the fourth and final truth that will help peace reign in our hearts and minds today is this. God himself is the grounds for our peace. God himself is the grounds for our peace. Verse 16 again. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always by all means, the Lord be with you all. What I'm getting at here is that last part. The Lord be with you all. Friend, think about this. God is with his children at all times. All times. Yes, he's omnipresent, which means he's at all places at all times. But with his children, he's not just omnipresent, he's manifestly present. Right? You can feel him. You can experience him. You know that he's there with you. You have a sense that God is with you. And what a peace to know that God, the sovereign God of the universe, is right there with you. You see, he's the grounds. He's the reason for our peace, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. Aaron had a benediction, like Paul had a benediction. Maybe Paul is pulling from this in Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. And in this benediction here, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, Aaron reminds us that God is the grounds of our peace. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Did you hear the centrality of God in that benediction? Every aspect of it. The keeping, the shining, the blessing, all of these things, the graciousness, the peace. God is the source of our peace, and he's the grounds of our peace. Without him, you have no real peace. And so if you are in Christ, if you're in Christ, God is with you, bringing you peace. And so I say this morning, friend, if you're in Jesus Christ, God has destined you to peace, for peace. And I pray that you'll increasingly know that peace as you become increasingly more like Jesus Christ. But if this morning you have not repented of your sin, and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that you do not have peace. Again, even if you feel peaceful, if you do not have Jesus Christ, you do not have peace. And so I pray today that you'll come to Christ. Today that you'll lay down your arms against God. Today you'll surrender to Jesus Christ, because that's the only way that you'll know true and lasting, everlasting peace. And so here's my prayer for us this morning. May peace be yours because you are God's. Let me close with 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself, and this is my blessing to you. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.